Thank you, Scotty. Is God good? All the time, and all the time God is good. I don't know, even though I sent them all of these notes, I may end up preaching this some other time. But what I want to do, because I just want to then let the service go where it needs to go. I want to receive our evening offering, so if you're Scott's going to get his group ready. If you're prepared and would like to give to the ministry of the church, we would love to give you that opportunity. Don't feel pressured. Don't feel manipulated. I'm not here to do that. But he gives seed to the sower, and his word is always true, and so we're thankful to be able to sow, and we've been able to sow as a church body because of your generosity and different things. And you help us. You really do. I mean, sometimes I think people think that this, you know, everything just, we have angels that just fly down and bring us equipment and pay our bills. They don't do that. But your generosity of being obedient to the Lord helps us. We just bought a brand new subwoofer tonight. We're going to get the other one repaired. It's been broke. And just so you know, that's a $900 piece of equipment sitting right on top of that. And you'd like to think, no, but yes. And so, but you know what? It's paid for. We don't owe anything on it. And because of God's people, we were able, how many remember? I'm just giving you some praise, okay? I mean, I'll give him the praise, but you have been obedient to that. So let me just share this, all right? Because there are people that have said, this is what the Lord wanted us to do. Remember when we got our big heating air conditioning unit hit, plowed by a car? $17,000 to repair that. $17,000. And that was during that wonderful, just after COVID spell and all that stuff. And we had the church, I mean, there are people that, you know, there are people who still watch church all the time, which we're glad you are, with their PJs on eating Cap'n Crunch, okay? At least you're watching. That's good. But, you know, it's great to be here because if you're at home, what you miss is what happens in the presence of the Lord when we assemble together. But anyway, we used insurance money with I've talked with the headship and all that, just to keep the door swinging. Because the insurance company, she didn't have insurance, but we did. So, you know, we did that, and we still owed that $17,000. I had to pay those people on credit. We don't have that credit anymore. That's all paid for. So that is a God thing. And so I just thank the Lord for his just awesomeness and his awesome people. Amen? So you just, it's just great to be able to, it's just great. He is just so good. So let's pray over this. Guys, you come and Father, in Jesus' name, such a great opportunity to give into your kingdom, and we just give you legal jurisdiction to work on our finances, and we give you the glory for it. In the name of Jesus, everybody say amen. Well, as the ushers are serving you, yeah, I'm going to do this another time, so I'm sorry, Ron, we'll just hold these notes, or Justin, yeah. So I'll just turn that off. I'm gonna follow the Lord, which I do that if he was wanting me to do. I mean, I wrote that, but anyway, there's always time to do that. It's fun to be out on a limb. I'm going to tell you some stuff, so I want you to listen. All the stories you're about to hear are true. The names may be changed to protect the innocent. But we need a move of God. It's not that we can't have one, because he's always ready and he's always willing. But we need a move of God, because we get in our mind the way God should move. Well, I think he'll do this. And if he doesn't do that, I've seen God do so many things that just blew me away. So some of you have heard some of these stories, and I'll try to go through as many of them as I can. Then I'm going to pray for people. And we're going to see people get healed. And we're going to see people get set free if that's what they need. You don't have to be a sergeant at arms or a captain. We're all in the army of God. If you're a born-again believer, you're in the army. You've enlisted. No, I didn't. Yeah, you did. Because the enemy knows who is on whose side. And he fights that way. And you know he does, because that's why we have struggles. And we know who they're coming from. When I got saved, I was afraid of God. I don't know if you've ever been afraid of God. I was afraid. I was afraid of what he looked like. I was afraid. I mean, I grew up seeing Jeffrey Hunter play in King of Kings. If you've ever seen that movie, it's been out for like since Moses, you know. I mean, he's been there a long time. But that's the guy that played Jesus, and he had, I remember, blue eyes, but it would just freak me out. Then they had some guy that played Jesus of Nazareth that looked to me like he was on drugs. You know, I mean, his face was all just drawn in. His hair looked greasy. I'm like, and it always bothered me because as a kid growing up, I had all of these dreams about Jesus. And I would tell my mom about these dreams. And you smell the popcorn? That all smells like, yes. But I had a dream that I was up in my room. We lived on 4th Street here in Marion. I was up in my room, and I woke up, and I could smell popcorn. And I came down steps, and if you remember, there's 15 of them, because my dad, I'd count them every time he'd come up to give me some love. And I turned right to go into the kitchen, and Jesus was popping popcorn. And he had one of those, now some of y'all won't know this, some of you younger teens, Jiffy Pop. And it's where you pop it and the thing goes like it's got an alien inside or something. And he turned around and he looked at me and smiled and he said, "You want some?" I said, "Man, I love popcorn." He goes, "I know, sit down." And I woke up. And so I told my mom, "I dreamed Jesus was popping popcorn." And she said, That's great, honey. Then I had another dream that Jesus came in. He said, "Hey, I want you to come with me." And I said, "Okay." And so he told me to get on his back like you'd ride a, like, you know, piggyback. But he just jumped out the window and we just flew. And I'm riding him like a horse. And he's got his hands out. And I'm looking at his head and he's looking back. He goes, "Do you like this?" And I'm like, "I do. Yeah, it's great." We flew around my house. Around your house, Uncle Tom. We flew around your house. And he's pointing out stuff. And I told my mom I had a dream. I was flying with Jesus. "That's great, honey." And I, you know, but I'd have all these wonderful dreams. But then in my mind, I wanted a relationship with God. And I knew who God was. And we all know who God is. And if you're witness to people, "Oh, I know God." But I found out as I grew up, the devil knows God. But he's not going to heaven. So it's just not enough to know who he is. It's to have that relationship. Because I just thought I was I knew there was Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit, but I didn't understand that growing up. And I kind of liked Jesus, but I didn't like the greasy-haired looking one that was on TV. And, you know, so I was just growing up with all of these different things. I mean, I can't tell you. It would, I don't know if I could use the word haunt or taunt, but I remember at Easter time when I was a kid, I don't know, 10, we had to watch King of Kings, or, you know, if you ever watched The Greatest Story Ever Told, there's about 15,000 stars in that one, and John Wayne's in that one. He's the soldier that says, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." So I like that part, I mean, but I went up and had to go to bed. Couldn't sleep because I was afraid. And I remember turning off my light, and there was a light. Mom always had a light in the bathroom, just a little night light so you could find your way to the bathroom. Really wasn't for us, it was for her. Because if she woke up in the middle of the night and had to find the bathroom, there had to be a light or whew, bad news bears. So, but that light shone on, I had a coat rack in my room where I hung like my spring jacket, my, you know, whatever, my sweatshirts. And the shadow of that went on the wall and it was made the face of Jesus. I'm like, I'm freaking out, God. And I got up and I moved all that around and I just was. So as a kid growing up, I'm just telling you, why I have to share that, I really don't know. I don't know if that ministers to anybody. Right now, it doesn't even minister to me. So when I got saved, the reason I got saved is basically really my sister. She's sitting back there in the back with my niece. She got saved. Her and Jeff. And Jeff's out front. Big security guy. Looks like Samuel Jackson, only white. If you look at somebody, you have to be like, that's right! But anyway, then it really changed because I watched her change. She was always good to me. We were always close. We were siblings, and we fought. We fought over Gilligan's Island or American Bandstand or Soul Train or whatever we were watching. You know, she wanted to watch one, I wanted to watch the other, and it was on. But we were always close. But seeing her change, it affected me. I don't know if we're so afraid to affect anybody anymore. We might hurt their feelings if we act saved. When I first got saved, they used to say, oh, you have to take a new Christian has to be put up for 6 months because they're just too crazy. They'll learn. I don't know that we ever should learn because the world teaches us just to. But we have the best news ever. So I gave my heart to Jesus, and she led me to the Lord. January 2nd, 1980, at their half double. And that night, I was afraid because I said, Mom, he's coming. He's going to come in my room tonight. I just know it. And, you know, you have parents and your parents are different. Most kids, their soft one is their mother. And that's the way it was with us. Dad, he wasn't, you know, I'm like, I didn't want to go in my room that night. And in 1980, I was 20 years old. I'm an Eagle Scout. Slept out in the stars by myself. Not a problem. You know what I mean? It's not a normal thing, but this was like engraved in me. And she said, well, do you want to sleep on the floor here at the foot of our bed? 20 years old. I said, sure. I'll do it just tonight. She said, all right. I don't think my dad was happy about it. But I was laying there, and I was tossing and turning. Now, this is what happens. If you've ever given your heart to the Lord a lot, most of the time or many times, you have the battle. Nothing happened. You're the same. Yada-da-da-da. And just to let you know, something happened or you wouldn't be having the battle of nothing happened. So you got to understand the enemy's deceitful tactics. I couldn't sleep. I was laying there, and I was laying on my stomach, and then I knew somebody was in the room. And, I mean, there was no music. There was no bright light, because all I could think of was this huge bright light, this greasy-haired, narrow-chinned, bony figure going, Brett. And I'm like, you know, that was probably, I don't know. And I mean, at this time I was at least at that point, I was either green or brown belt. I mean, it's not like I was not afraid to fight. It was just weird. It wasn't me. But I knew somebody was in the room. And I started to turn, you know, and then I started seeing somebody. I'm like, okay. I remember pinching my arm. I can feel that. I'm not sleeping. I turned around, and there's a man standing in the doorway. Now, I want you to understand something. I'm thinking Jesus is going to come to me in the white robe, greasy hair. He's standing there. I had just, I believe I went, it's either I was going to or went to the prom that year. And prom was a big deal if you're in high, you know, it was like, oh, okay. So I had a three-piece suit that I wore to the prom. That's about, I had my hair parted in the middle, feathered on the side. You know, I was cool. Yeah. And now at 20, I'm out of school. Well, I didn't go to the prom that year. Let me erase that. I didn't go to the prom that year. That's what I wore to the prom. I better say that because you're going to think, what are you going to prom at 20? Yeah, that wasn't that, but it was what I wore to the prom. That's what he had on. He had on the same three-piece suit. It was like a light brown pinstripe suit, and he was standing like this. And he had hair about down to his shoulders, and it wasn't greasy. And I could see that he had a mustache and he had a beard. And if you go into my barn at home, there's a picture of Jesus and there's a picture of my dad. And the one of Jesus is a little bit higher than the one of my dad. And people ask me all the time if they're there, oh, I see you got the picture there. I said, yes, my two dads. And they just look at me like, they said, well, he's higher than them. And I said, yeah, that's why I did that. But anyway, he stood there and this is what he did. He just kind of a cool stance like this. And he tipped his head, and I could see him smile. And I was immediately, I had no fear, none. It was just like it was gone. And I turned to my mom, I said, Mom, Mom! And he was gone. And I turned back around, and he was gone. And I think I ended up going back to my room after that. But I'll never forget that. And the reason I think he wants me to share that with you is sometimes we have a preconceived idea how he's going to be or how he's going to show up or how he's going to do this or how he's going to do that. You can't put him in a box. His word will tell you what he's going to do, but you know how many things he did different? Did he spit in mud and put it on everybody's eye? He did not. It's recorded one time. One time it's recorded mud, another time there's a record where he just spit in somebody's eye. I mean, I don't know, did he? I don't know. But what I'm telling you is, if you were the person that needed that, there's people that don't like it if he moves the way they don't like. For real, I had a lady come, God gave me a word of knowledge. You know what that is? That's just a word of something that somebody needed or something that, reading somebody's mail, so to speak. In a service. It was probably much like this. And he said, there's a lady here, and she has a problem with her hips. She can't walk very well. I want to heal her. And that's what I heard in my mind. Now, I didn't hear that audibly. And I'm just, you know, just so you know, I have heard him audibly on different occasions. And there'll be people who say, well, I never have. I can't help that. I have. It doesn't matter to me whether you believe it or not. I'm just telling you the things that have happened to me. And so I said, there is a woman here. She has a problem with her hip. He said, what side? I believe it was her right, I think. And I said, your right hip, you're having trouble walking. The Lord wants to heal you. If you would come up front, he would love, you know, he would love to do it. So here's what people struggle with. I'm not coming up front. Because then people will know it's me. Do you rather leave with a limp or come up front and let God do what he wants to do? So she came up, and that's what she did. She came up. I was on staff in Springfield. She was like this. And so this is all I did. Because this is what we get. People think the way the Spirit moves is if everybody falls on the ground and shakes like a fish. And that's okay because that has happened. I've seen it happen. It's happened when I prayed for people. I'm okay with that. If it doesn't happen, I'm okay with that. Because it's not about if you fall down or what. It's, did you get what you came for? If you're not healed, you know what I mean? We get our minds caught up and that's how we decide what a good service is. a good service, if God's there and God's doing God things, that's a good service. There are people that never came up front that he healed them right in their seat. And they're like, oh my gosh, I felt heat in my arms. And wow, my fingers, they were crooked and now they're straight. And you're like, whoa. And nobody called them out. But I told that lady, I said, the Lord wants to heal you. So she said, okay. So I prayed. And I said, Lord says, just take a walk around the sanctuary. So she started walking around the sanctuary. Just the way she came up. Kind of like Walter Brennan, only a woman. Most of you don't know who Walter Brennan is. He was an old Western actor. But she walked around there. Second time around, she's walking like this. Third time around, she was walking like this. Fourth time around, she found a white hanky, and she was, woo! And she was running around. And, you know, people were upset. She's out of order. I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm not stopping her. She just got healed, and she is happy. We have to get God out of our mind the way we just have to let God be. We have to let go. I went to Brownsville like five times. And that was an anointing, five-year anointing, or a five-year revival that went on. And I saw things I'm like, I don't know if I'm comfortable with that. I don't know. Made me real uncomfortable. And then I'd come back and God had put some of that stuff on me that I'd pray for people, and I'd watch things just start happening, and I'd be like, wow. But I went there one time, and you know, PK's little, and I've always been her protector. And we went up, and I have done courtesy drops for people. Have you ever done that? You know what that is? I'm going to enlighten you. That's if people are praying for you, and you just, some people just be like, okay, I'm just going to fall over, whether I feel like it or not. I don't do that. If God wants me on the ground, I can't stop him. You know what I mean? I'm going to let him put me on the ground. Then here's why. I was at a service where Tom used to go to church, and they were having revival there, and the pastor that was in charge of that church married Kim and I, and so I went to the service. He invited me. I said, sure, I'll come. And I went, and we went down front for prayer. He said, Brett, I want to pray for you. I'm like, okay. And, you know, there were people that were falling out in the spirit, which are slain in the spirit, whatever term. So this is Wednesday, so I'm just, that's why I'm down here. I'm just talking plain, okay? Which basically, this is what happens. If that really happens, there's nothing to be afraid about. It's kind of like your body can only take so much of the glory or the presence of God, and it does. Your legs don't want to stand anymore. It doesn't hurt. There's nothing wrong. It's just one of those. It kind of felt to me like, because this happened to me. It doesn't happen a whole lot, but it felt to me like I was laying at Grandma's house on a winter's day with about 15 quilts on. You know, just that heavy, kind of that, ooh, just the comfortable. That's kind of what it felt like. But anyways, I lost my train of thought talking about Grandma's quilts. Somebody tell me what I was just saying. Yeah. Yeah. So we were at Brownsville. Thank you. And, before that, I was at Tom's church, and the pastor prayed for me, and somebody came up on my back and put their hand on my back. That's normally a sign that if you're there, now if you're in ministry, and like we would train our ushers, you're in ministry, you know they're back there because nobody's going to push you down, but if you just, you know, if you just start, somebody's going to catch you. And so you know that. So I feel that on my back, and I'm like, somebody's going to catch me. And I felt the presence of God. My knees were kind of, I could feel the presence of God, and I thought, if I stay here, I probably will. I was excited to be in his presence. I'm like, I just want to go over so I can be in it. You know, so I was just yielding to it. I have no problem with that. Well, so I just went like this. I felt that hand go. There was nobody back there. Do you remember that? There was nobody back there. I did the nesty plunge on a cement floor. Bam! I mean, nobody caught me, and people around go, ooh. Somehow I didn't get hurt. I mean, I thought I'd get whiplash or something, but I didn't get hurt. And I stayed down there for a while, mostly because I had to regain consciousness. No, I don't know. That won't happen here. Our ushers are trained. If that happens, that won't happen here. But, you know, just seeing and understanding and knowing there's nothing to be afraid of. And so what I'm asking you is you need to trust me. If you trust me, know that I'm not fibbing to you. I'm not even stretching anything. I'm just telling you. It's amazing when you see God. So when you start seeing him in service, you'll never forget it. It changes you. It marks the spot. I watched Tom might have remembered this. I was in a service, and an older lady I was praying for, she started going over, and I think Tom was an usher, and there's some other ushers there, but I didn't think she was going to go over, and the ushers were standing there, and then they went, one went this way, and one went the other way. This is true. This was a pew, not a chair, a wooden pew. She just goes, and she just fell back. And it was almost as if an angel was carrying her, and she was just like in slow-mo. And she got down to the pew, and the pew goes, whoosh, and she laid down and goes, shoo, and closed back up. I was standing in front of her because I just had prayed for her. And there are people like, oh, and I heard them all gasp, and they're like, did you see that? And I'm like, thank God, I'm not the only one that saw that. I mean, did you see that? And they're like, oh my gosh, that's so, you know. And you know what happens is when we start believing God, I don't care how you do it, God, you're God. It's okay. That's the part where he's sovereign. We start seeing things. This place will be packed to the gills because people will come. Do you understand? God will save people. He doesn't care. And he will heal people whether they're saved or not. You don't have to be saved to be healed. And so we get this in our mind that you have to be saved or he won't heal you. What kind of a father is that? He will heal you and save you. He's already paid for it. You just have to receive it. So I saw that, and that was crazy. In that same, there was about 50 students that kept coming and getting saved. So students like, you know, they were just coming. And I mean, they don't know me. I wasn't having youth with them, but they like, let's go see that crazy preacher across the street. So they'd come in, and Tom, if you remember, this big guy, like about the size of Tad back there. These big, like linemen for the football team. And he had brought all of these football players. And they came just to mock me. And so he came up and he's like, I'm going to have you pray for me. And I ain't going to fall down like everybody else. I'm like, oh, that's cool with me. You going to pray for me? Yeah, sure. Sit down. I'll pray for you in a little bit. Won't you pray for me now? I'll pray for you in a little bit. So he sits down. Talk about the word for a little bit. Say, okay, now I'm going to pray for you. So I said, okay, get up. I said, I want you, I'm just trying to talk like him, probably don't do a good job. I want you touching me. I'm like, okay, I won't touch you. Put my hand over like this. I said, is that okay? That's all right. He said, I don't believe this God is real. I said, all right. I said, Father, I just need you to be real to this man. He wouldn't tell me his name at first. I said, I just need you to be real. And he turns around to his guys. He goes, I ain't feeling nothing. And he started doing this. I'm not touching him. Pretty soon, he's just doing this. And that guy's just like, oh! And he just, boom, and he hits the ground. And all of these football players are like, oh! And one guy like, he killed him! I said, I did not kill him. He's just laying on the ground. And he's kind of shaking. He ended up giving his heart to Jesus that night. Other football players gave their heart to Jesus that night. The next night, I had a girl come in. They called her Scooter. Some of you heard this story. She come in with she had her foot was bent like this. She's scooting like this. She had a little scooter and walk in. Her mother was a witch, and her mother was a practicing witch. And her mother had forbid her to come to my church. I never met her mother, but somehow people talk. And so she came down, she was crying. She said, I want to walk. My mom doesn't want me here. I'm going to be in trouble if she ever finds out I'm here. And I said, well, I'd love to pray for you, but what if you went back and you didn't have to have this? She said, what? And I mean, now all these students started coming in. So there was a bunch of students in there, a bunch of adults, a bunch of students. And so she had her walker. And I said, can I have that? She just like standing like this. And I said, what do they call you? And she said, well, they call me Scooter. I said, because of this? She said, yeah. I said, well, they're going to have to come up with a new name. I just prayed for her. She fell out in the spirit, got down on my knee, and touched her foot. Her leg just snapped and popped, just like that. Just, I mean, everybody could hear it. Just crack. And she didn't go, oh, because she didn't feel any pain. Matter of fact, I don't even think her eyes were open. And then I went and prayed for some other people. In a few moments, she got up. They helped her up. She folded her scooter. And when she left service that night, she was walking out just like she never had it. And the whole place was like, wow. She went back to school. And everybody's like, did you see Scooter? Did you see Scooter? Well, next time we had some prayer, we had more students. She went back. Her mother was so upset. Her mother just worked at her and worked at her. And when inside of, I'm going to say, 2 weeks to 3 weeks, she had her foot turned back in, and she was back to scooting. So, Brett, why are you telling me all this? I'm telling you things because we're getting ready for God to move in this place. This place is going to, I'm just saying, I'm so done with just doing church just to do church. I mean, I don't do church just to do church, but just, you know, this is what I've asked the Lord. I wasn't planning on talking like this tonight. It's 7:52. Can you give me a few more minutes and then we'll pray for people? I've asked him to use me again in the ways he's used me so many times in the past. He's used me, and again, he gets the glory, but he's used me to heal blind eyes, restore completely new eardrums, put new ones in there. They were gone. I don't know how he does it. People to walk, legs to be popped into place, whatever. I prayed for a kid. I can't even tell you I was being spiritual. And he had a temporary cast on his foot. And they had an x-ray where he had broken his leg. And he caught me in the middle of me getting ready to go into service. And he's like, PB, PB. And I love people. And especially I love students. And he was a kid that would have been in like Kidstown age. Will you pray for me? And I'm like, I'm just going to use a name because I can't remember his name. I'm just going to call him Jake. Jake, I got to get up front, man. I got to start the service. I know. I won't take long. Will you just pray for me? I said, yeah. And he comes over on these crutches, and he said, I broke my leg yesterday, and they're going to put a cast on. Would you pray for it? I said, well, sure. He said, my mom doesn't believe in God. She says God doesn't heal. That stuff's all gone. I said, how'd you get here tonight? He said, my grandma always brings me. Thank you, God, for grandmas that believe in Jesus. So this is what I did. This is how spiritual I was. Jesus, heal Jake's leg. Just touch it. Thank you. Fist bump Jake. Gone. I got a service start. Do you know God healed his leg? I did the service. Everything was fine. At the end of service, you know, I'm down, I was talking to people. Here's Jake standing by the door. Now, he had walked in with his crutches, you know. He's standing by the door. He's holding his crutch. And he's just kind of doing this. And I'm like, now this is how, I'm just not even thinking, that's weird. Why isn't he using his crutch? Duh. Oh, PB, you're so smart. He goes home, tells his mom, God healed my leg tonight. She said, no, he didn't. He said, yes, he did. He said, PB prayed for it. God healed it. She said, you're getting your cast on tomorrow. They took him to get his cast on. The doctor said, let's take another x-ray of that. Because he said, Doc, my leg is healed. I don't need it. He's like 10. They took another picture. They've got the x-ray of the fracture. They got the x-ray. The fracture is gone. And he turns, his mother's like, this, I don't know how this. And he turned to his mom and he said, now do you believe, Mommy? She's just like, she didn't know what to say. Folks, this is how God shows up. It's by people like me and people like you that will carry the lamp, that will be the light. He's just looking for people to step out, people to see and believe and then just follow and act it out. Okay, God, if you want me to do it, okay, I'll do it. Brent, go pay for that. All right, okay, I'll go pay for that. Give that away. Okay, I'll do that. Pray for them right now. Right now. Okay. You see, that's what we have to be Jesus to people. We're not Jesus, but he's inside us. So we need to practice living what we believe. Just being loving and kind and, hey, can I pray for that? You know, I've prayed for people and they've looked at me and went, they've just had a headache. What's the matter? Oh, I got a headache. Hey, can I pray for that? Some of them will tell me, no. Okay, I'm still going to pray. I'm just not going to go over there and put my hand on their head. But I'm just going to say, well, okay. In Jesus' name, I'm believing your head's healed. I believe that headache is gone. And I can't tell you the number of times that people will just go, and I'll say to them, it's gone, isn't it? What is it with you? He's with me. That's what's with me. What happens if we do that? I was in a service, and I've told you this. I won't go into all detail. Everybody in the service was black and white, but three people were in living color. And the Lord had told me, said, I have a message for these three people. I was on staff again in Dayton. One time I was in Springfield, but I was on, as and I started. So when the service was over, I went to the first person that was in color. I didn't know what I was going to say. And as soon as I went and stood in front of her, and she stood up, she was probably about 70-something. Have you ever seen on TV, listen to me, students, have you ever seen like Dow Jones, where they do the Dow Jones things and the ticker tape runs across and, you know, all that? That's what I saw. And I could see it in my mind. And it had sentences on it. It had words on it. And the Lord said to me, you know, I was like, he said, read it. And I said, I am. He said, out loud. Oh, okay. Because so I did. And what it was doing, I was telling her the things that she had done in the last two or three days. Now, I don't know. And she was just like, and so when I was done all that, I said, may I pray for you? She said, yes. I just went and put my hand on her. And she, like that, just like, she went over and the usher tried to catch her. Because I didn't think, I mean, it was like a, like right now. I prayed for you before and you fell forward. You've done that a couple times. I'm like, whoa, Jack, I love you, but please. But anyway, she went to go down and the usher went to catch her. And I grabbed the usher to say, hey, catch her. And as soon as I grabbed him, he fell down. And then so she goes down, the usher gets her, he falls down. And I went and falls down and another usher comes over and says, what's going on? I said, I don't know. Boom. Boom, and people were just going, poof, poof. And a kid about his size comes running down the front aisle going, pray for me. And all I said was, I'll pray for you in just a second. Pointed my finger, you would have thought I was Luke Skywalker. That kid went shoo, like 5 feet in the air and hit the ground. And people are like, what are you doing? I said, I don't know. But there were, they were probably, I don't know, in that service, maybe 150 people in that service, and I'll bet you 70 of them were on the ground. And most of them I probably didn't even touch. I mean, it's just like, God was just like, but people were finding themselves healed, delivered, got up, was different. Now, I haven't forgot about Kim at Pensacola, so just so you know. But she went down, and there was a very large person in front of her, and she was going to go down. And I thought, she's going to kill her, because she's going to go down, and she's going to kill her. And the Lord corrected me. This is what he said. He said, quit worrying and get your eyes off her and get your eyes on me. And so I just said, okay. And that service, the Lord ministered to me. He ministered to Kim. And I said, I'm not going down. I'm not doing the courtesy drop. I already did that. Didn't like it. And the next thing I knew, I was on the ground. And I thought to myself, I am going to get up because, you know, I'm PB. I'm going to jump up. And, man, I'm an athlete. And nobody, you know, I couldn't, my arms, I'm like, I'm going to move. My arms said, no. I couldn't. I tried. I couldn't. So I thought, okay, I'll just stay here. And I just enjoyed that presence of the Lord, that 10 quilt feeling of just that heavy love feeling of God's, he's doing something, he's healing, he's... I was at another service, and the Lord was really there, and I don't, again, it's not like I go out a lot in the Lord, but I wasn't out, but you know, you kind of know what's going on, but you just, your body's just saying you need to lay down. That's really, it's no pain or anything. And so they laid me down. Sammy, you remember my son Sam, he works for Pastor Gary, but he was only a little guy. He said, they hurt Daddy. What's wrong? Did you kill Daddy? And they were like, no, honey, Daddy's fine. Daddy's fine. And I remember looking at Sam. I said, Sammy, come here. And somewhere we have a picture. He laid on top of me, put his hands on my hands, and laid on top of me. And people were just amazed at that. But I'm telling you, I've seen so many things. There's no sense in me trying to follow a, here's 3 points, three poems, and get you out of here. This is what I want to do. Or this is, I believe, what he wants to do. If you have something that needs healed, he wants to heal it. He's already done it. You have to receive it. Now listen to me, and then we're going to pray for people. A lot of times, and this is what I got, that I used to get, I would think, I don't have enough faith. You ever feel that way? I don't have enough faith. And so we feel like we don't have enough faith. Let me address that really quick. You have enough faith. You do. It only takes a mustard seed to move a mountain. You have enough faith. God gave you the measure of faith. You have the faith. What we fight is unbelief. We don't have a faith problem. We have an unbelief problem. So I want you to look at from the other side of the coin. You have everything you need to receive what he's already done. The battle isn't your faith. The enemy will tell you that because he's a liar. The battle is between your head, your ears, and it is your unbelief. Well, he'll do it for bread, but he won't do it for me. Or because I thought this thought, or I did this deed, or whatever. You understand? Listen to me. That's garbage. That's legalistic jargon from church. Nothing you could do would make him love you more. Nothing you would do would make him love you less. Now, I'm not saying he condones everything we do, but what I'm saying is you have the faith. If you are a believer, he put that faith in you. What you have is an unbelief problem. And that's what we have to address. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to address, like, well, I've prayed, had this prayer for a long time and blah, 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 blah. Okay, I get it. I can't take that back. But what if you might have looked at it wrong? I know I did. I did for a long, long time. But I have seen him. If nothing else, there's a little bit of a cloud in here tonight already. If nothing else, believe, trust me. Maybe you're like, I can't see God. Okay. But he lives inside of you. You can't see the wind, but you can see what it hits. That's even scripture. Let God make you whole. Let him free you from things that have bound you. Let him heal your body. He's already paid for it. Remember Easter Sunday? Check your ticket. I finally started saying, okay, God, I'm cashing my tickets in. And then see, people were like, oh, I don't like that. It doesn't matter whether they like it or not, but I want to walk in the power of the Lord, and I want to be the example because he lives in me. And he lives in you. But he's waiting on people that will... You understand the waters never parted till they took the step over the Jordan and then they went. If you don't step, that's what happens. The things that I'm telling you didn't happen on their own. I had to hear him and I had to obey him. But there's two parts to that. Where are you at? Brett, I want him to heal me right here. I'm not saying he can't. He can do, he's God, yes. He can do that. But if he said, I want you to go forward, then we have a pride thing we're looking at. You know, the big guy I prayed for? I've had people different times say to me, you know, he told me, I'm not going to go down. And this is what I told him, true story. This is what I said. I'm not in charge of that. I'm not. Because I'm not going to push him. He was pretty big. He might push back. But it's not my job. I'm not in charge of that. I don't want you to fall down. And if you don't need to fall down, you know what I'm saying? You don't have to get afraid if you don't fall down. Does that mean, well, God can only heal you if you get slain in the spirit? That's hogwash. He had Naaman go dip 7 times. If Naaman would have stopped at 6, what would have happened? He wouldn't have got healed. There's no falling down there at anything. He had somebody just stretch out your hand. No falling down. Come here. Let me spit on your eyes. No falling down. Let me put some mud on your eyes. You know, I'm just saying, we get all caught up in this. What if we got caught up in him? Just imagine. I'm going to tell you, you know, if I have any sign of sickness that touches my body, I'm on it like white on rice. Like ugly on an ape. I'm not going to let it manifest. I'm not going to give it any room. I'm going to stop it right now. I'm going to speak to it. I'm going to do everything I can. And if I have an unbelief problem, that's what I'm going to deal with. Because I'm not perfect. I want you just to bow your heads, and we got some music playing. And if you have a special need or something I can pray for, I want you just to